the Shamish Baptist Temple. Let's all stand, and we'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you for tonight, Lord. I just pray that you be the service that might honor and glorify you. Be the song service that might be a blessing. I just pray that you look after us and guide us and direct us and open our hearts for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Take your hymnals and turn to 210. Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight and to have each one of you with us. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 38, if you want to go ahead and make your way over there, Isaiah 38 and Isaiah 39 tonight. I have a couple of thank you notes. One says, "Dear ladies of SMBT, thank you so much for the box of goodies. It was fun finding out what was in there. I love you and appreciate each one of you. I miss you. Thank you for your show of love towards me. Think of you often. Love and prayers, Glenda Bush." And then thank you came in the form of a letter, and it says, "Dear Pastor and church family, it was a real honor for us to be with you for the beginning of your missions conference 2 weeks ago. It was truly a homecoming for us. It was good to see the church is moving forward for God. It was also good to see many old friends and having sweet fellowship with many of you. Thank you all for your faithfulness and holding us up to God in your prayers. Thank you for the support you have been faithfully giving to us each month. Thank you for the increase of our support. It will be used in his service here at Bible Baptist Church in Yates Center. Trust you had a successful conference and that we will hear great reports about the work there, and we will be rejoicing with you for the work this year for God. Thank you, and God bless you as you labor for him in his service, Martin D. Bush, Marty." And it was good to have the Bushes with us and kind of get things going for the missions conference. And although the missions conference didn't go exactly the way that we had laid it out and planned it, it was a great conference and greatly used of the Lord, and we sure thank God for it. Now, you might have noticed on your way in tonight that we have concrete on the cross out here. And so they were able to get that done today, which is really cool. And so it won't be long now. There'll be a fence that goes up, and then a flagpole will go up, and then we're going to dedicate it. So we're looking forward to that, and be a solid testimony to the Lord, and a memorial, a place that you will have a couple of benches, be a place if you wanted to come and stop on a beautiful day and take your Bible and set out there and read and just enjoy the beauty. It's really beautiful out here, you know, and you know, you might see deer, you might see turkey. It would really be kind of a neat thing. We're looking forward to having that completed. Brother James has been doing a great job. We sure appreciate the hard work that his group has put into getting that accomplished. And then for those of you who don't have Facebook, yesterday I took Cindy in for her second opinion, and I'm glad we did. As soon as we walked in, the doctor began to visit with us, and he said, "So why do you think you have cancer?" And we're like, "Well, because that's what the guy said we had." And he goes, I don't know. He goes, "I think we need to run some more tests and verify that this spot is cancerous or not." And so he gave several options, we settled in agreement with him on doing a PET scan. So we're in the process now of getting that set up with Shawnee Mission, and then we'll just go forward from there. And, I think it's good that we know and kind of help give us some clarification. So, hopefully here in the next week or so, we can get that done and, move forward how God would have us to do that. Isaiah chapter 38 and 39. I'm going to begin reading verse number 1. You can follow along. I'll just read down here about 6 verses or so, and then we'll get to the message. I've entitled this Hezekiah, because it's basically going to deal with him. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amzon, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." Let's just read on, because we get some interesting stuff down here in verses 8 and 9, if you've maybe forgot the story. Verse 7, "And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down on the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered from his sickness. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. And Lord, might we learn from it. Might it encourage us. Might it strengthen us in our walk for you. And we thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ did go and give his life there upon the cross of Calvary, that heaven might be our eternal home. And Lord, we pray that that you might help us to reach out to this lost and dying world around us. And Lord, that we might see people saved. I pray that you would bless Richard and Leslie as they're out on the road trying to raise support so that they might go tell the people in Papua New Guinea. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the fact that we can be saved. Thank you for the fact that we can tell others about Jesus. And thank you for the truth of your word. Meet with us now. Have your will and your way done in our lives and our hearts. And we'll give you the honor and glory and praise for all that you do. We ask these things in your name. Amen. And so we're talking about Hezekiah, one of the great stories in the Bible. I always enjoy reading this story and being reminded of the power of God. And we see it right off. You know, Hezekiah finds out he's going to die. He turns his face to the wall. He begins to pray. He cries out to God, reminding God about how that he's tried to live perfect and upright. And I believe he had, or God wouldn't have answered his prayer the way he did. And then we find that God says, okay, I'm going to send a prophet to you. We're going to add 15 years to your life. And to prove it, I'm going to back the sun up. Now, in some of the study that I did, it wouldn't have been such a big deal to let it go forward as it was to go back. And there has been studies that have proven that there was something that happened to our time as we know it. And of course, we know what it is from the study of the Word of God. It was God moving time back to prove to Hezekiah that he was going to have those additional 15 years. So these chapters contain historical information, raising the curtain on the Babylonian crisis, and Isaiah describes King Hezekiah's sickness. And so the first thing we find is the healing of Hezekiah. And I don't care where you are in life, you find yourself diagnosed with something unto death. One of the first things, the natural things that happens, is that we all are not ready to die. Are you ready to die? I'm not ready to die. I mean, I think I've still got stuff to do, you know. And it's really come home in our house. You know, my wife talking the things that she's been told and things like that. And she goes, well, I want to do this. I want to do that. And I said, well, do those things. You know, we're going to try to accomplish those things. And so here's Hezekiah. He's been given this news and it's shook his world. And he didn't know where else to go but to go in his bed and turn his face to the wall and turn to the Lord and cry out to God. He is the one that we ought to turn to in our time of need. And as a result of Hezekiah crying out unto the Lord, we find that God hears and he works in Hezekiah's behalf and he grants him an additional 15 years. So the first thing we see is the sickness of the king. In Isaiah 38, verse number 1, he was afflicted by a fatal illness. He's going to die, and he's been warned that he needs to get his house in order. By the way, I think it's good that we always live with our house in order. This thing with Cindy has caused me to get a few more things in order. We had a trust that, I don't know, Brother Asbury was here 3 or 4 years ago, and I had it just sitting there. Always going to do it. I'm the always going to do guy. We're going to do that. Well, then when we started getting this diagnosis and stuff, I'm like, okay, it's time to do it. You know, let's get the ducks in line. And I'm glad that we had invested in some life insurance. And I'm glad that we have done some other things that will kind of help along this line. And so you don't want to wait till you're there. You want to get out in front of it. You want to be ready. You want to be proactive. And so we need to be thinking about what would happen if this is what God would have for me. And the second thing we see is the supplication of the king. Verses 2 and 3, in desperation, he cries out to the Lord. He turns his face to the wall. He cries out to God, and he asks God to intercede. And you know, as much as we appreciate the doctors that we're going and seeing, we understand that it all boils down to God. That's what God decides and what God wants done. And I remind her time and again, look, I could be dead before you die. I mean, all it takes is a car accident, a massive heart attack, you know, some idiot with a gun someplace. We could all be dead before we think we ought to be dead. And so we ought to live each day ready to meet the Lord, ready to go and to be in his presence. The third thing we see is the salvation of the king. In verses 4 through 6, Isaiah tells Hezekiah that God will add 15 more years to his life. And so he's telling him that God's heard your prayer. God is going to grant that. He's going to give you an additional 15 years. And I would hope that Hezekiah came forth with the idea that I'm going to give God my best 15 years. You know, God's given me an additional 15 years. They're going to be my very best for him. Not that I'm going to, you know, well, there's all these things I want to do and I want to get done. But that Hezekiah would have been ready to say, I'm going to give him my very best. This additional time is going to be for his honor and for his glory. And then the fourth thing we see is the sign of the king in Isaiah 38, 7 through 8. And God says the shadow on Hezekiah's sundial will go backwards 10 degrees as a sign to assure him that he's going to be healed. And so the next thing we see is the summary by the king in verses 9 through 22. And so he is in a depression in verses 9 through 16. He feels betrayed. It seems unfair to be cut down while in the prime of his life. He feels broken. Verses 13 through 16, it's like being torn apart by lions. And then the deliverance in verses 17 and 18, what God has done. God has healed Hezekiah's body. He's forgiven his sins. And what Hezekiah is going to do in verses 19 through 20, he'll write songs of God's faithfulness and he'll sing them daily. And Isaiah tells Hezekiah's servants in verse number 21 to make an ointment of figs and to spread it over the king's boils so that he will recover. And Hezekiah asks in verse 22 for a sign assuring him that he will go to the temple in 3 days. With all this mentioned, that we just ought to stop and we ought to ask ourselves, what would be the most important thing for me to get done if I found out I had a limited amount of time to live? What would be the most important thing? I think it'd be good for us to actually stop and think about that. Now, I know some of you sitting in here are going, well, wait a minute, preacher. I'm in my 30s. I'm in my 20s. Why would I want to stop and think about that? Just because you're young doesn't mean you're not going to die. Okay? I had a cousin that died at 20. He was an honor student at K-State. And he died in the frat house, and it was a mysterious death, and he died. They found out later that it was related kind of to the sleep apnea thing. His dad then had a stroke, and that's when they found out it was a genetic thing that his dad had that more than likely caused my cousin, who, by the way, was just 1 month older than me, so we grew up like best friends. You know, have you ever had one of those cousins that... you know, you get together and you play football together and you play army men together and, you know, just like the best cousin ever. And that's the way my cousin Jeff was to me. 1 month older, and yet he died at the age of 20. And it was a sad, sad thing because young people aren't supposed to die, but young people die every day. And so for us to say, I've got a lifetime to worry about that. I'll worry about it when I get to be old like you, preacher. I can see it on your face. I know what you're thinking. I'll worry about when I get to be old like you. And I might have said, I'll wait till I get old like Brother Reichel before I worry about it. You know? But then it came home. You know? They get this diagnosis. 8 months to a year, or maybe 2 to 5, and it kind of makes you start aligning things. Okay, there's some things we want to do. We're going to do these things. There's some things in preparation we ought to do, you know, whether or not God heals her. And boy, that's sure the way we're praying. And that would be a glorious thing for his glory. But that doesn't mean that I should be putting stuff off. We need to go ahead and do things, right? So what would be some things that you would want to do if you said, let's say that you found out you had 6 months to live? What would be some of those things? Well, I think we probably all know someone who's lost that we'd want to share the gospel with, right? Maybe a loved one who's gone astray from God that we'd like to have that one more talk with, you know, try to sway him back to the things of the Lord. Maybe our prayer time had become more important, you know, because we realize that we're going to go from praying, talking to God, to actually talking to God. So maybe our prayer time would be more important. Maybe our Bible reading would become more important. Maybe attendance to church would become pretty important. Being around close friends, giving assurances. I think it's so important that that we share the assurance of our salvation with those around us. So one of the things that's happened through this process is Nathan showed up at our house and, you know, he comes in and he goes, okay, he said, I want to talk about this first before we talk about anything else. And he goes, I want you to know that if I die, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, praise the Lord. It brought great peace. Now, it doesn't mean that he's still not living in sin, okay? But at least that's answered. You know, we know. He brought it up. And so he knows he's saved. And I see God's hand working in his life, and I see he's making different choices in some areas, and I think the conviction's kind of laying on him. And, you know, he was with us, and we said, you know, we go to church on Sunday. And he goes, yeah, I brought clothes. I'm ready to go. And, you know, so, but I think we ought to grasp our life with the idea that maybe I'm not going to die. Maybe Jesus is going to come.
Yeah. Amen.
And if Jesus comes, I still want those same people to go to heaven, right? And so there needs to be like an urgency, I think, about our concern for others over our concern for us and the way we're living and what we're doing. And if we're not careful, we become consumed with just living out our life and accomplishing our goals. And, you know, everything fits together in this perfect, wonderful puzzle of life. When in the truth of the matter is, all it takes is one diagnosis or one car wreck, and it can change all of it. So we ought to live as if we're going to die, or as if we're going to go see Jesus, right, in the rapture. And that's my preferred way to go. You know, it'd be great to me if we all left here now. Wouldn't that have been cool? Just like, boom. I think that's the way it's going to happen. I don't think you're going to be sitting there going, I wonder what that's going to be like. I think it's what's going to happen. You're not even going to be thinking about it. Boom, you're gone. You're gone. Now, what would really be sad is those that aren't saved to stand around those that are saved, and all the saved people are gone and they're left behind. So we need to live our life with the idea that at any moment it could be the last, that at least that Jesus might call us home. And then we see the hospitality of Hezekiah in Isaiah 39, 1 through 8. And we see the foolishness of the king. In verses 1 through 2, he unwisely shows some visiting Babylonian officials all of Judah's treasure. And so this guy comes in, and he's glad to have them, and he shows them all the precious things of his house. He shows them the silver, he shows them the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. And so he got to feeling quite confident in himself. Man, look at all this stuff. And I want to impress those around me. I want them to really like me. And so I want to show them all my stuff. And so this group comes in and he shows all his stuff. Little did he realize the price that was going to be paid for this fault. And the second thing we see is the faulting of the king, verses 3 through 8. And so the rebuke is given in verses 3 through 7. Isaiah warns the king that someday the entire Babylonian army will be back, and this time to plunder and enslave the people of Judah. And then in verse number 8, the selfish king Hezekiah says, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." He said, "For there shall be peace and truth in my days." In other words, he's saying, at least it's not going to happen in my lifetime. He was more concerned about his lifetime. Listen, it's a reflection of your lifetime. I wonder what the reflection of our lifetime would be. I mean, I've kind of thought about this, and you know, what will your final service look like? Will it be well attended or barely attended? Or will the stuff that you've thought so important, will your family think it's important? I just can't. I was talking to someone recently, and we're talking about stuff and parents and the stuff parents leave. And I was talking about my mom and how that we brought in dumpsters and just hauled stuff out and threw it into dumpsters. And I said, you know, it's caused me to look around my house and go, you know, is this stuff going to be important to my kids or not? You know, am I keeping a bunch of stuff that really has no value, nothing that they're going to desire to want to have? And so, you know, Hezekiah here was like, well, you know, there's going to be peace in my time. I'm not going to worry about anyone else. I'm not going to worry about how it might affect them. And I think the truth of the matter is that we should worry. I think we should plan well, and I think that we ought to be ready to go. I think we ought to plan well and telling our loved ones that we know we're going to heaven, we know we're saved, we know that heaven's our eternal home. We need to try to influence those that are lost for the cause of Christ, that they might hear the truth one more time and not lay it off on someone else to tell them, but we ourselves ought to tell them and say, you know, we don't know what will happen. We don't know. The Lord's coming again. But you need to be saved. You need to know him as your Lord and Savior. Not just fluff it off and say, well, you know, it'll all get sorted out in the end. Because to be quite honest with you, we're talking about eternity for the end. We're talking about forever. And when we die is our last chance to affect this earth and our family as we know it for the Lord. When we die, we have no more opportunity to affect them, okay? I know there's been all kinds of dumb movies and things like that showing people who are dead that haven't passed over to the other side. That doesn't happen. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're dead. If you don't know Christ, you lift your eyes in torments. There's no hanging out, you know, trying to guide people. You know, it's done. When it's done, it's done. If we're going to affect people, we must do it now for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you for the truth of your word. We pray to God that you would have your hand upon our lives. Give us wisdom and insight. Help us to live for you and serve you in every area of our life. Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful in witnessing to our lost friends and neighbors, family members, Lord, telling them about Jesus, the importance to be saved, and in preparation, because we don't know what a day holds. Our life may end quickly and suddenly, or you may come back quickly and suddenly. And so, Lord, we need to prepare. We need to prepare for those things. We need to be ready. We need to make sure that that people know that they too can be saved, that heaven too can be their eternal home. Lord, take this invitation and use it for your honor and for your glory. We love you, and we ask these things in your blessed, most holy name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand for a moment. Brother Charlie's going to lead us just simply, and just as I am, God's spoken to your heart. I'd encourage you to come, whatever you need. Brother Charlie, if you would.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me, and that the bitter spirit come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Go ahead and be seated. We're going to shift over to our prayer time. Brother James is going to come. I appreciate him taking care of this. I did talk to Mrs. McGinnity. Brother Bill had the carotid artery surgery yesterday, and it was so bad that they put a stent in, but he's getting a lot of great blood flow. I guess she talked like it was just down to like a trickle. But they got it open to the point that his blood pressure was high and he was having headaches. So it's a sign he's getting a lot of good blood. And so they are trying to adjust those things. They hope to get out of the hospital.